in the book of John, John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 23. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. Bitter. They couldn't drink of the water because it was bitter. And so they called it Marah, or bitter. If my memory serves me right, it was Naomi who, after losing all of the things that she had lost in a foreign land, said, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Marah, for I am bitter. The Lord hath dealt with me so." There's been a lot of things, events and circumstances that takes place when we begin this Christian walk. None of them are intended to make us bitter. Circumstances that may come and happen, people that you may have great confidence in, may fall and may falter, may disappoint you greatly, but none of these circumstances are to make us bitter, but yet to make us better than what we are. We are to learn by example, not just the example, the good examples that come before us, but we are to learn by the mistakes that others have made. They say that experience is your best teacher. I don't want to have all the experiences to be taught. I want to be able to be taught by God's Word, by the instruction that He has for me here, by the instruction of His Holy Ghost that leads us and guides us day by day. I don't want to have to fall down, and although you may fall down in this walk, you can get back up, but I don't want to have a whole life of failure and falter and falling down before I can learn something. Amen. They couldn't drink of those waters, and they just called them bitter. Unchangeable in their eyes. Couldn't do anything with it, and they just called it bitter. Those waters were unfit to drink. We've been coming here for about a little over 10 years. And I got to thinking when I saw Brother Townsend last week, we come into service, and I just had to take a double take. No, that guy looks just like Dale Townsend. That couldn't be him, though. But he sure does look like him. And his service was beginning to start, and I was almost afraid to get up and interrupt service until he was recognized. And it was Brother Dale Townsend. And when we first came here several years ago, about 10 years ago or so, we really didn't get to know him very, very well. We've seen him get up and sing some. But whatever it happens in a person's life, to cause people to turn back and to walk back. I'm glad that we've got people coming back. Amen. I'm glad for Brother Townsend coming back and making things right with the Lord and that. But the things that people stumble over and falter over. The reason I'm mentioning his name is it's in a 10-year span. That was about the beginning of it, is when we came here, and that's why I mentioned his name and his experience. There's been so much happen. There's been so many things go on in the ministry and the fellowships and the church in general and in specific. So many things take place in our life. There's been so many changes over the last 10 years, and that's stirred my heart to begin to remember when I saw Brother Townsend. I remember him singing those songs, and I thought, man, we've been here 10 years. It just seems like yesterday we walked in those doors in the back and just felt that God had this place for us to be a home church, but so many events have taken place, and we've saw so many people turn not to come back. We've seen so many people turn and not to ever come back to the house of God again. Many experiences in their life that's caused them to be bitter. Never was meant for them to be so. All the experiences that we have in this life are not meant for us to get bitter at God. But yet to cause us to grow in the faith. If we'll just turn to the Lord during our time of trouble, during our time of struggle and confusion and question, God has every answer for us. He has everything that we need. But folks get bitter because of circumstances. Folks get bitter because something was said to them. And maybe it was said wrong. Maybe it was said in the wrong spirit. Maybe they didn't deserve that. But it's no time to get bitter at God folks that need to press in and need to find their place in the Lord and find where God would have them to be used. We get busy, and sometimes I'm afraid even about the Lord's business, and I'll put quote in quote the Lord's business. We get so busy coming to church and coming to activities and socializing and being fellowship in here and fellowship in there that we lose our experience with God. I mean, how can that be when we promote fellowship and we promote coming to the house of God? But the paradox is this, is that we come so accustomed to coming to church and from one revival to the next, and we come so accustomed to fellowship meetings and youth rallies and camp meetings that it becomes a more of a ritual and we lose our personal walk with the Lord, our personal experience with God, the daily fellowship that we need to maintain. We've lost it coming to the house of God. And I experienced this when I was in export. Brother Shane, he can testify to that. That you can come to class and study God's Word 8 hours a day. Be around Christians all day long. Go to chapel service and prayer service and get up in the morning and do it all over again. You can spend 3 years in a place that's to prepare you for the ministry. But how many have we seen come out of that place bitter and torn inside and their hearts are not right with God and come out with a bad reputation, a person known to be involved in terrible sins? Why does it happen? It's because people lose their personal walk and relationship with the Lord Jesus. The ministry becomes an occupation. The ministry becomes a vocation. Rather than reaching out to souls that need Him and preparing ourselves to love Him and to know Him more so that we can tell others about Him. And so it is in the house of God. Folks have walked away when things don't turn out right. Even when things are done wrong, they're still not meant to turn their heart against God and call the waters bitter. The Bible says in the back book of John chapter 4, it says, "There cometh a woman from Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me to drink." This was unusual. "For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria to him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest me to drink, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto me, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, hast thou nothing to draw with? And the well is deep. From whence hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." She was drinking from the wrong fountain. She put her confidence in her a genealogy, if you will. She put her confidence on where she was from. She put her confidence on who dug the well. In a physical sense, everything was wrapped up on who she was and where she was from. But she needed to find another well. A well that could supply her soul. A well that could be a life spring of everlasting joy and peace. And that's the problem that folks have today. That's why it's hard to keep folks interested in the things of God, is because we introduce them to programs. We introduce them to jobs in the church. Did you know sometimes some of the busiest people in the house of God are some of the most wretched, miserable, bitter people that can be found? They get so busy and so dependent upon doing things that their relationship with the Lord is not maintained. The prayer life that they once had is not maintained. And they don't know Him in a personal way anymore. And the waters have become bitter to them. They need to find a new well. They need to find that Jesus is their well. Amen. Jesus answered her and said, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And the woman said unto him, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." She still didn't get it. She still didn't understand that this wasn't a physical thing. It wasn't another an act of labor, an act of works that she had to do. She still didn't understand. And Jesus was telling her, I am the water. I am the water that you'll never thirst again. This woman had some problems. Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. That's where the problem lay. She answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husbands. For thou hast had five husbands, and the one whom thou hast now is not thy husband. This that saidest thou truly. I mean, after six, she still wasn't satisfied. You know, people put a lot of confidence in things, and people put a lot of confidence in each other. And how many marriages come, and people come to the altar, and they say, till death do us part, and make that solemn, holy, a wonderful vow of marriage. It's a wonderful institution. It's the best thing under heaven, is that holy institution of marriage. The best thing under heaven. And many times folks have come and made that vow and turned and walked from it. Well, the problem was they thought that that man or that woman was going to be all that they needed in their life. Oh, if I could just do and say the right thing to draw attention from that fella or from that girl, and perhaps someday I can take them as my wife or my husband. And they think, oh, if I could just somehow be what I need to be in front of them, they will be all I ever need. Don't kid yourself. There's no way in this world that any man could ever be all that a woman needs. There's no way that any woman could be all that a man needs. I mean, it's a wonderful thing and it's a holy thing, but there's a place in our heart that only God can refresh. There's a place in our soul that is meant to be set aside for a personal and present relationship with the Lord Jesus. The living water. The living water. Not the bitter. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believeth me, the hour come when ye shall neither worship in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We worship, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. You see, all other worship is merely idolatry. Any time that people draw their strength from things rather than from God, they have made their thing an idol. And that includes husbands and wives. That includes children and grandchildren. I mean, any time that we draw what we need in our self-esteem and in our confidence as to what we are and who we are from people, from individuals, from things and from occupations, we have set up an idol in our life. We have set up an idol in our life, and it's not going to be refreshing. It's going to be bitter water after a while. It's going to be bitter water. Why do good folks turn back? Why do good people that once loved the Lord and worshipped with us and fellowshipped with us and sung and played the piano and shouted off the piano and worshiped, and we saw them shout, we saw them speak in tongues. Why would they ever turn away from the living water? Why would they ever turn away from a fountain so rich and sweet as to refresh your soul and to cause fellowship and to cause contact to come into the very presence of God? Why would folks ever turn away from that? Because they didn't maintain the what they needed to do, and that was to keep coming back to the well. Old song says, I keep going back to the well of faith. Keep coming back to the well. What is that well? I keep coming back. It's the Lord Jesus. He'd be to us a well of life, springing up into everlasting life. My heart's troubled tonight. I mean, I've seen folks, and I've been in service with folks, and I even begin to make a list of some people that once preached the gospel, once had the anointing of God in their life, and the list seems to be getting longer and longer because they're falling into heinous sins and things that are unspeakable in the house of God, and I begin to think, well, what's happened to so and so? And didn't you hear about that? Didn't you know about what? And more, the people that's supposed to be bringing the fountain to us, More and more people that's supposed to have the experience of God in their life are falling away right and left. And folks in the house of God that are drying up even as I speak tonight, that don't come because they love the Lord. They don't come because they want another closer walk with Him. They want more refreshment from Him. They want that experience to be refreshed and renewed daily. They come out of obligation. They come because they're supposed to come. And I know and I realize that we need to come to the house of God, and we need to take part in God's service and God's worship and in God's house. If we don't feel like it, come out of duty. But when it comes to the point that all you come into the house of God for is because out of duty or out of obligation, have we lost that refreshment that once filled our hearts, what couldn't keep us from the house of God, that couldn't keep us from fellowship with the believers? And now all we come is out of our self respect and our reputation. You know, we got to keep our reputation up if we're going to pass that offering pan during the service and be seen in the church. We got to keep that reputation going. You know, got to be seen sometime walking into the house of God if we're going to have respect of those around us. And we live for respect instead of living to worship the Almighty. We live for self-esteem, and we set up self-esteem to be a god in our life. We live and we set up an idol called pride in our life, and no longer is the fountain of life alive in our heart. The waters become bitter, and every little problem that arises in or around the house of God knocks us flat on our back. Every little situation that comes or goes tears us apart, because we didn't keep our relationship with the Lord. We didn't keep coming back to the well. I tell you what we need to do. We need to come to church because we love the Lord. We need to worship God because we love His presence. I mean, it used to be when I know you may not be able to keep it up for 6 months or 365 days out of the year, but it used to be when it was no problem for folks just to come into the altar and worship and lift up holy hands and the power of God just move in the altar, and they didn't care about when they had to go to work tomorrow. They didn't care about those things. They were refreshed in their spirit. And I remember many times going home and coming home real late and saying, "Oh God, you're going to have to give me strength for tomorrow. I mean, it's too late to be going to bed. Give me strength for the next day." And I felt a refreshment in my heart and in my body. He gave me strength, because I keep coming back to the well. There's nothing in this world will satisfy you like an experience of God will. And that's why those that at one time knew of God and knew of His experience, an experience that they had a personal touch of God in their life, and they ministered to others, that's why they're so far away from God now, because they're trying so desperately to feel it. They're trying so desperately to feel it. And the sad thing is, it'll never be filled. It will never be filled. All other wells will just be Mara. All other wells will just be Mara. I was burdened today more, and I think it's all right to say, I was burdened today more about not necessarily about the death of this lady that we had the funeral for today, but about all those lost experiences, Brother Collins. All of the lost experiences that were sitting among us, all the disasters that were out there that once knew, I mean, not just knew about, they once knew the experience of God. They once tasted of this water. They once came to the well and experienced that living water in their hearts and souls. Some of them played the piano and ministered to us and fell back, and I just couldn't believe it. I didn't recognize them. The experience is gone. They're drinking from Mara. They're drinking from Mara. And the water just keeps getting more bitter the more they drink. It's like drinking out of the ocean. You can't get enough. It's salty. It doesn't satisfy. It doesn't do you any good at all. But before somebody else walks away, and before your well turns tomorrow, why don't we do something? Why don't we do something maybe we've never done before? Why don't we worship God with all of our hearts? I mean, when the service is going and God's moving, and don't wait for somebody else. Worship God and invite that living water back in for refreshment again. And all the circumstances and all the problems and all the politics and all of those things will just pass by the wayside. When you've got your heart set on the living water, you don't have to worry about politics. You don't have to worry about bitterness. You don't have to worry about problems. You can go back to the well and He'll refresh you again. I mean, sometimes Sometimes it's good not to know too much. But I can't help it. So many things have been coming my way, and I've heard so much. And if I focus upon those things, I'm liable to lose track of where the well is. And if you focus on the wrong things and the wrong conversation and all the wrong things, you know, you can lose your experience with God because you're walking toward the wrong well. Myrrh would never satisfy you, but the living water will satisfy you. Amen. The Lord can satisfy you. Amen. He will satisfy you. He's a living water that ever lives, that ever lives. You don't have to be bitter. You can come to that sweet water. Amen. As we come tonight and pray for the service and pray that God will touch you and touch me and help us to ever maintain that walk with God. Keep coming back to the well. I mean, if you've been wronged, if you've been hurt, if you've been done wrong or things said wrong to you, keep coming back to the well. Keep coming back to the well. And don't let that water, don't let that place get bitter in your life. Keep coming back. Amen. Let's find a place to pray tonight. Let's pray for the remainder of the service. Pray that God will move in a real special way tonight. Amen. It's not just a one-time experience. You may come and you may find that God blesses you around here tonight in such a way that you can look back years from now and say, I remember the time when God blessed me in 1998 during that revival in May. But that's not going to be good enough. You got to maintain it. So let's come tonight. Come back to the well.